It is one of the most fascinating times of the year, and it is the Hall of Fame ballots that are due as they turn in their ballots to find out who would be the next class of the Hall of Fame. Former president of the Baseball Writers Association is Derek Gould, based right here in St. Louis of the Post-Dispatch, and he's been kind enough to join us to talk about this process. And as always, Derek, I love you shedding some light on this situation, and thanks for taking the time. How are you?
I'm good. Happy New Year, Dan. I hope you had a healthy, wonderful holiday stretch with your family.
I did.
Happy to talk about this however you need and face the squad of questions that inevitably follow.
Well, what are the most commonly asked questions that you get concerning the Hall of Fame voting?
Why do you have a ballot? Have you ever watched baseball before in your life? Who made you an expert? And then usually individuals. Why didn't you vote for Mark McGwire? Why haven't you voted for Pete Rose? Why do you vote for the steroid guys? Why don't you vote for this guy? Why don't you vote for my favorite player? Why do you not like my team? I mean, everybody has some general, some question along those general lines. They have a beloved player, or they have an allergy to the PED era. And they want me to explain why I haven't satisfied their opinion or shared it.
So on this particular ballot, you went with Bobby Abreu, Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, Todd Helton, Andrew Jones, Scott Rolen, Curt Schilling, Gary Sheffield. What do you think about this ballot in terms of what might be the most controversial of your picks in 2021?
Yeah, there are probably three that stand out there. It's a good question. I guess the one right off the hop is Bobby Abreu. People asking that question, like Bobby Abreu, great player, but was he, did he kind of ascend to that greatest level? And that's a question that I really struggled with him and Billy Wagner, to a certain extent, Jeff Kent, and also looking at Mark Burley. Where's that line of a great player that then moves up into the greatest players, that goes from the elite to the greatest of all time. And I went into it thinking, okay, Abreu's not, and I didn't vote for Abreu last year. I just didn't quite get there. This year I spent a lot more time, asking myself this question. If I'm voting for Gary Sheffield, or I voted for Larry Walker in the past, or voted for Andrew Jones this year, that type of thing. How does that resonate with other outfielders like Sammy Sosa? How does it compare with Manny Ramirez? And then Bobby Abreu. And in going through that term, that kind of look, it was like, okay, at a lot of turns you come upon Gary Sheffield and Bobby Abreu doing pretty well and standing out from others. He's just that he got there in a different way. His blend of stats are unique. And, he has some really, really elite company when you look at the blend of things he did offensively. And that makes him stand out from other peers. Whereas, like, Sheffield was a ferocious hitter for many years. And I was really strong in my thought on how he was, belonging in the Hall of Fame. Sammy Sosa had kind of that bulge in the middle of his career. Overall, actually, has the big home run totals from that one big, strong, mighty stretch. But, the depth of his numbers and the length of his career, how does that compare to some of these other ones? And so Abreu, to me, might end up defining my cusp. But as I looked at the voting trends, it just dawned on me that, I didn't want to be part of him falling off the ballot. And so I had a vote to give. And so I voted in that way, thinking this deserves more time. I've clearly needed more time. I didn't want him to slide off the ballot like Jim Edmonds did. I voted for Jim Edmonds. It wasn't enough. And so I've learned from that. The other one is Curt Schilling. Obviously, he said some, toxic, revolting things on Twitter. So how do you deal with that? And then the other one is the guys who are tied to PEDs, and where I drew the line between the ones that I did vote for and then some of the guys who are tied to PEDs that I did not.
Do you think that the PED guys, now you voted for some you did not. You just made the explanation as to why you did and did not for some of those guys. Do you think generally speaking, for the writers? Do you think that some of those guys will get in this year?
I don't think. I think it would take a really big push here in the unknown ballots for those guys to get in. It sure seems like it's trending towards towards them being inducted in their 10th and final year on the ballot. It seems like it's headed that way. It could be interesting because, you know, the trends also say that that's about the time that Roland will be elected. So you could have Bonds, Clemens, and Roland be part of that class, which would be really a fascinating contrast in a lot of ways. You know, a guy whose career was eroded by injury, and then two guys who have inflated numbers for inflated reasons.
How about Curt Schilling? Very close, and
yeah,
you did vote for him. As you mentioned, though, controversial because of what he said about writers and where he stands politically. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't obviously agree with his stance politically. Does he get in this year, in your opinion?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, some of the things he said just as a human were awful. Regardless of where you are on the political spectrum, I mean, I think you would read that and go, man, this is just some of these things that's just, you know, it's discouraging. It's reprehensible. You know, he retweeted and seemed to advocate violence against journalists. That's disappointing. But in the same vein, he has some kind of following that have a perception of journalists that I'm happy to turn on its head. He is one who, if you didn't vote for him, would say it's because of political reasons. But I voted for him because of journalism reasons. You know, it's professional. And that I didn't want to contribute to, you know, I mean, he's deserving. His play on the field, one of the best playoff pitchers of all time. And to be frank, as I looked more and more on my ballot a few years ago, I had a really hard time differentiating between what Smoltz did, what Mussina did, and what Schilling did. They just did it in different ways, but all three of them were among the greatest of pitchers of their time, and all three of them are Hall of Famers. Two of the three are in, you know. Schilling is deserving of the Hall, and also deserving of all the attention that will follow and bring greater scrutiny to the hogwash that he has spewed.
Scott Rolen, it does seem like is trending in the right direction. Whether or not it happens this year is up for debate. I don't think he's going to get in this year, but it's certainly, as I follow many of the writers that are putting their ballots on Twitter, it seems like he is really getting a ton of traction towards the Hall of Fame.
Would not shock me at all if he doubles in support this year and puts him on an accelerated path towards induction. There is a real awakening to the type of player he was, and also to a greater understanding through new metrics and through advocacy and through things that people are writing to what it takes to be a third baseman and how he excelled at all of that.
I've heard, you know, some writers say, Derek, and I know that you can't speak for every writer, but I've always kind of said, you know, it's not the Hall of Saints and the Hall of Angels, right? It's mm-hmm. the Hall of Fame, and correct me if I'm wrong, it's about, hopefully keeping the understanding and the history of the game on the field. Now, there is not necessarily a morality clause, but there is, if you can explain the exact clause, that would be helpful here.
The sportsmanship clause?
Yes, and some writers have gone to that, to look at Schilling and to look at the guys that have done steroids. And they're using that as a way to say, nope, that's why I'm keeping some of these players out. How do you feel about that, or do you feel like you should even comment on that?
I'm happy to comment about anything. That's part of the job, right? If I'm not comfortable commenting on it, why keep the job? Being accountable for my actions, being accountable for my votes, being accountable for the words that I say here on your podcast, that I tweet or that I write, that's part of the gig. That's part of why you put your name on it. You don't write anonymously. So I'm happy to answer for it. So the sportsmanship clause, I was looking to see if I had the precise language of it, and I do not have it handy, Dan, so I apologize. But it's essentially, it allows for the voter to take into account sportsmanship and integrity of the game when it comes to the vote. It's a clause that has, definitely a questionable history. That's fair to say. And how much status you want to give it depends on individual voters. People use it in different ways. When I set forth to on this on the possibility of being a voter, and I eventually to get my ballot, I wanted to use it as a tool. It's one of the tools I think that the hall gives me, because they require us to have a 10 vote minimum, or I'm sorry, maximum, 10 vote maximum. We can only vote for 10. If there are 11 worthy players on it, and there have been times where it's like, man, there are 14 guys on here that I think are Hall of Famers, I can only vote for 10. And that means that I am damaging the chances of the other four. So what tools do I have at my disposal to answer the question that the Hall has asked me, which is not who is a Hall of Famer, it's who is worthy of the Hall of Fame? Well, the sportsmanship clause is one of those tools that I use to pare it down, to trim it, to say, okay, well, you know, this guy is not as worthy of the Hall as others because I have a question about how he satisfies this clause. With fewer than 10, I don't need to use the tools.
Sure.
And, you know, so the clause goes back to Kennesaw Mountain Landis, the commissioner at the time of the Hall being introduced. And so he obviously has a controversial stewardship of baseball. His role in the segregation of baseball is well known and well discussed, and is a big reason why his name has been dropped from the MVP award.
In terms of some of the writers, not even, they submit a ballot, but not a vote. I'm not sure I agree with that, Derek. I think
I don't.
It's a privilege to have that honor of, you know, turning in a ballot and to not even have a vote. And you're telling me there aren't Hall of Famers on that list. I'm not sure I can agree with that.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, there's almost two conversations. I understand if you look at the ballot and you go, there's not a Hall of Famer, in my opinion, on that ballot. I'm a small hall guy, and it's either Ken Griffey Jr. or no one. I get that. I don't agree with it, but I can understand why someone would adopt a small hall, the elite of the elite, mentality, and now they can defend it. What gets me is the blank ballot then detracts from every other voter. You know, it's different than submitting a ballot with a 1 or 2 or 6 just because of the very fact that a 0 is different than a 1 or a 2 or a 6. If you send in a ballot with one name checked, you are adding to the process. If you send in a blank ballot, you are quite literally only detracting from it. You are only subtracting votes. Because it takes 3 votes of your peers to overcome your 1 blank. And that's where it's where it gives me pause, is not because of the opinion. I get that you can have this opinion, but it's about the message that you're sending to other voters who put in a lot of time. And that's sort of a respect for the process, respect for other writers. And people clearly vehemently disagree with me on it. I stand by it. And if somebody sends in a blank ballot, all I ask is that they explain, you know, their reasoning in those terms, not just in the terms of how they didn't think anybody was eligible, but in the terms of that they thought that their ballot should not just only subtract from other voters and not contribute.
And I'll ask you a final question. Who do you think gets in 2021?
I think, boy, this is a great question, Dan. Group right now, Schilling is best positioned to be elected. That's where things stand. He has lost some votes, but every trend in the past has indicated that he was moving in the direction of being elected. I think that's still possible. There's still so many unknown ballots out there, and we not know them until after the announcement later this month. So that's something to keep in mind. I still think the trend holds that if there is a candidate from this group, it'll be him, and that Bonds and Clemens will creep ever closer toward induction next year. And the biggest mover is likely to be Scott Rowland. I think there'll be significant movement for him.
I totally agree. Hey, Derek, thanks for doing this. Thanks for being transparent with your ballot. Really appreciate that, and we'll catch up very soon.
Of course. Sounds good. Thanks for having me, Dan.
That's Derek Gould of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch.